so that we can do this prayer together. Whether you are young, whether you are old, you can all be involved today. So, can I have my first volunteer? Anybody want to come and hold this up so everybody can see? Yeah? Shall we take you over here, Alice? And we'll kind of make a little bit of a thing. So can you see? Hold it really high so people can see. So we're looking at our Father in heaven. Okay, may not look like a father there, but this is a mum, okay? This is a hen and her chicks. So I want us to start right at the beginning that, can you imagine that this father, so when we talk about father, we need to be a bit careful. This is going to be the best father that you can ever, ever imagine, okay? And he actually, it says in the Bible, wants us to call him Abba, which is daddy. He loves us more than this mother loves her chick. So I'm just hoping that sort of visual thing really helps this morning at the beginning of the prayer. So when we pray, we can pray as if we are praying to a dad. Now, who is good at lighting candles? Can I have somebody who'd like to light this candle? Anybody good at striking a match? Anybody want to be brave? Anybody good with fire? You're good with fire. Okay, come and light this candle then, John. Okay. So, does anybody know where we go? So, our Father in heaven. Anybody know that next bit? Oh, please don't leave. I need you to stay. Yeah. Okay, so we'll put that on there so that it stays, and maybe if you'd like to go by Alice, we can pick it up without it sliding. Ooh. Okay, you've got a candle next to you. Hallowed be your name. I thought this was probably a really good illustration, okay? So people look to candles maybe for quietness and solitude when we come in, all recognizing that our God is a holy God. He is really holy to be revered. So yes, we did start with our Father, being able to talk to a dad, but he is holy and we need to remember that, and he is to be revered. Can I get four helpers this time? Yeah, so just come to me. Four helpers, okay? So, our Father, hallowed be thy name. What's next? Anybody know? One each?
Yeah, we'll go one each, yeah.
I couldn't hear, so shout it out. South. It is south. Yeah, okay. Okay. Your kingdom come, your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. So I want you to have a look at that. North, south, and east, and west. So I want you to, whatever, or you can be in whatever order you like. There is no part of the world that your heavenly Father doesn't want to be a part of. He doesn't care for. He absolutely wants his kingdom come on all the areas of the earth as it is in heaven. So I want you to kind of get that. So it's not just about our little world. It's about all the earth. And he loves the earth so much. Okay. Can I have the next volunteer? Oh, they're like really scared. It's only a loaf of bread to hold. It's all right. It's not too scary. A loaf of bread. Okay. Do we remember why it's a loaf of bread? We're right in the sort of middle now of the prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. Really good symbol, isn't it? So yes, we've given Ali some bread to hold, and that reminds us of food. Really good, isn't it, that God can be our provider. But he doesn't just provide our food. What is it that you need? Do you need a new pair of shoes? Do you need to pay a bill? Do you need to work out something with a friend? Do you need to resolve stuff within your family? Do you need help with your job? What is it that you need? This is about God providing. Okay, who's coming next? How many do I think I need? No, we'll have one person. One person that's in my moving around. So one very mobile person next. Is that okay?
Okay.
Oh, good, Kathy. Now, I think I've a wonky one here. So that's the wonky one. Oh, yeah. Oh, no, start with the wonky one. It doesn't matter. So I want you, just stand still for a minute, and then we'll get Steve to be your prop master, okay? So this is the bit that gets really tricky, that middle bit, okay? So this is a representation. You've got this big gold heart, okay? And this is God's love for you, so much so that he would forgive you your sins. Forgive us our sins. And for those of you who know this really well, there's that little bit of a clause in it that as we forgive those. So, Kathy, I'm not saying that you've got to particularly, or you have forgiven somebody for something here. Okay, so this is a demonstration. I don't want to make anybody uncomfortable, but I want you to give your heart to somebody as a symbol of you forgiving somebody. You've got a few more to go. So just farm them out. Anybody you think might like a gold heart, to remind them that God's gonna just keep giving them to her, and we'll just have a few moments of that. Yeah, giving out those lovely balloons. You know, God knows that we don't always get it right, doesn't he? What did he give us to help us to live by? Anybody know? He did, but he gave us 10 things. 10 commandments, didn't he, to live by. And breaking those is a sin, isn't it? And so he has given us a really great way. But he said, you know what? I know you're going to get it wrong, and I'm going to forgive you. But I need you to pass that love on and forgive other people. Okay. You will need to wash your hands possibly after this. There's me picking them up. I've got some stones. Who could hold some stones for me? Anybody hold some stones? Would you like to come and hold some stones? They're just a little bit sandy, that's all. So if you put your hands together... Put your hands like together. Is that too many for you? Do you want me? Would you hold some stones with her? Is that all right? See? Oh, I've got too many stones. Let me take a few off you. Do you want to pick that one up for me, Maddie? That's it. Lovely. So if you girls just stand in front of Kathy and Ali, okay? So just to help you guys out of what comes next. Yeah, so don't worry. Do you want to give a few more of your stones to her? I think we should share the things that trip us up in life. I don't know if you've ever tripped over a stone, but things can make us stumble and make us fall sometimes. And that can be called temptation. We ask God to not lead us into temptation, because that's what then caused us to sin and need to go to God for forgiveness. So actually we go one step and say, please protect us. Please help us not to get into temptation. So can I have another volunteer? Anybody? You just got to hold a picture over these beautiful girls' faces. Alan's coming. Fantastic, Alan. Come and stand. What I want to do is, this rainbow is going to go over the stones. Is that all right?
Yes.
Can you? Yeah, that's it. You're just going to go in everybody's way. We know what it means. That's it. Because what I want us to do is bring this rainbow as a sign of God's promises, a sign of his faithfulness. And at the end of the prayer that we're looking at, it says, lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. Okay, deliver us. And this rainbow is almost over the temptation. Protect us. The one in Matthew really brings that and says that line there. Deliver us from evil. Protect us. You are great. You are faithful. You are good. Now, what it doesn't say in the Bible is the bit that we say at the end. For thine be the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. That's actually not in the Bible. Oh, is it? Oh, okay. It's not in Luke's version. Okay. It's not in Luke's version, but we say it. Okay. So I need 4 people, 2 at the back and 2 at the front. And I want some bubble blowing. Anybody good with bubble blowing? Yeah, come on, bubble blowers. Bubble blowers, come on. Do you two want to do the back? So if you two stand at the back, I've taken the caps off and everything. One more blower. Yay, you want to go blow them? You can do them with Dad. Yeah, that's right. We might have splash zones. Anybody know what a splash zone is? It means if you get too near water, you could get wet. Okay? So if you want to move around, up and down, blow bubbles, because we want to remember God's greatness. We want to praise Him. He is mighty. He is wonderful. At the end of this prayer, thank you, Father. Thank you for all your goodness. And then not just thank you and praising Him, but may it be forever and ever. Amen. Right, who wants to do this with me? Let's see if we can remember. Come on, Alice. Remember the chickens. Our Father, who lives in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those, anybody got a balloon, sins against us, and lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. Blow away. Thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. If you would like to join in, you need to get out anything that will connect to the internet. So whether you've got a tablet with you this morning, whether you've got a smartphone, and what do they need to, what was it? Do you have to go to
www.slido.com?
Put it in Google, Slido, yeah. So just if you, I mean, it didn't like the us all being with Forest Gate Church guest. Some of you with the extension, you may have that from last week. If you can't get in, try EXT, and there's another internet thing as well. Could do like one side is allowed that side, and this side could use this bit of the broadband, and that. Is there a code? Oh, I think there's a code to Slido. See, I wasn't really paying that much attention. It was good, wasn't it? Just as we start, I just kind of want to just find some notes while you're all looking for that. Because that way, if you're not brave enough to shout out an interactive answer, you can put it on here, and then we can all see really what goes on in the hearts and the minds. And I think that's what we found interesting last week. Things that we wouldn't necessarily say out loud in front of each other, we were able to put up there, which I thought was really helpful. So my question is, or do we know we're not there yet? It's not going to work. Okay, so you are going to have to be brave and say out loud. See, I just thought I'd give it a little whiz, but never mind. It doesn't matter. When did you first learn the Lord's Prayer? Do you still need a code?
Yeah, it comes on the screen.
It is?
It's working.
It's working now.
It's working. Okay. So whatever your phrase, your answer, I don't know. I don't want to put things in your head, whether it's school, whether it's church, whether it's family, whether it was going to a wedding for the first time at the age of 5. I don't know. Okay, I'm going to have to look this way because I can't read that. Okay. With my mum, I like that. Oh, Sunday school is rocking. Yeah. Yeah. Keep going if you still haven't done that. Is it 18 people have joined in? Lovely. Three are still at Sunday school. It's kind of getting the most prominent one. I'm kind of looking at your ages as well. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I mean, for me, interestingly enough, some of you were brought up in either the same church as me or churches that were similar. I actually didn't learn it at church. The primary school would have been where I first learnt it. I didn't see it on a wall. I didn't see it anywhere to be read. I had to hear it. And from hearing it, join in where I could. Not quite sure what the dress mass is. And asses? What? What are they saying? And probably by the age of 11, might have kind of got the hang of it. But we didn't really hear it in my school. It wasn't, my church, but it was at school that I really, and see Sunday school. So that's really interesting, isn't it? So that's just kind of to get a little bit, to me, it's a bit like a national anthem for the church. You know, when we sing God Save the Queen at all these kind of, you know, official things, when Christians come together, it's like our thing that we say together. And that's kind of in my head. I mean, I think I've shared this before. I was in Girls Brigade from the ages of 11 to 14, and we had a motto: to seek, serve, and follow Christ. Now, at the age of 11, did most of the girls understand what on earth that was? No. But I think the hope was, with what you learned, the teachings, the leaders, throughout that time, you might start to understand what it meant to seek, serve, and follow Christ. I don't know whether you've recited it in many things, maybe the Lord's Prayer, weddings, funerals, whatever. Do we always all understand? Does everybody understand what it is? No. But do you know what? I think if we're willing to learn from God's word together, we ask his Holy Spirit to reveal to us about these things. We won't only just, discover what it means, but I hope it releases us into having that conversation with God every day. Now, there's two places in the Bible that Jesus uses these words that we now call the Lord's Prayer. You will find it in Matthew 6. When Jesus is given a sermon on a hillside, and again in Luke 11, when Jesus' disciples ask, how should we pray? And that's the account that we are going to look at this morning. One of the reasons for this is I just love the interaction of Jesus and his disciples. It's almost, it's just a lovely conversation. You might need to go, if you want to have a look at it and you want to go back into the chapters 10 and 9 and things. And it really reminds me, I believe that one of the things God wants to say to us this morning is about how much he loves us. And to me, that's demonstrated in this conversation with Jesus and his disciples, and can make that very real for us today. So I want you to imagine, what was it like leading up to that conversation for the disciples? Remember who the disciples were. They were this group of people handpicked by Jesus to be his helpers, support group, and they had given their lives to follow him. And if you do go back and have a look at some of those previous chapters, they did some incredible things. Jesus asked them to go out into the towns and the villages. He said, I want you to heal people in my name. I want you to deliver them from demons in my name. Share about my name. They had done some things before they'd asked this question. So they weren't just sort of, you know, like we don't really understand this. They had done a lot. They had seen the power of Jesus's name. They knew what it was like. So I want us to kind of have that in our heads and say, do you know what? If the disciples can ask, how do you pray? I think it's okay for us, whether you haven't prayed much, whether you've been praying for 60 years and you've got it all in the bag, I think it's still okay for us to say, how do I do this, God? What's going on? So in verse 1, it says Jesus was praying in a certain place. So I want us to kind of have that in our minds, okay? We know who the disciples are. Were they watching him? Where they're having a conversation about, so what do you really think he says? And I've got a little script. It's a kid's thing to help it understand the Lord's Prayer. And I'm going to read part of it to see if it captures your imagination this morning. Okay? So this is Jesus' disciples. They're having a conversation between themselves. Okay? And they're watching Jesus. So if we ask Jesus about prayer, Peter said, what if he says we have to stay up all night like him? What if he says I've got to say those posh, awkward words? What if he says I've got to burble on like those Pharisees do? I can't be doing with that. When did you ever hear Jesus talk in posh words, eh, Peter? Asked James. Yes, but praying, James, that's not like talking. But at that moment, Jesus came over and he leaned against the boat. Ask him, muttered John. No, you ask him, muttered Peter. What's up, said Jesus. Everybody started staring elsewhere, up at the birds, maybe back at that fishing net. Peter took a deep breath and went for it. Lord, you know John the Baptist taught his friends how to pray. Yep. Could you? Would you? Peter looked at Jesus in desperation. Oh, Lord, you know what I want. You always do. So why are you making me say it? Oh, go on. Spit it out, Peter. I love it when you ask me for something. We want you to teach us to pray, Peter blurted out. Jesus grinned. That's a good start. James and Andrew dropped the net and looked over at Jesus, and John sat nearer. None of your religious stuff, though, interrupted Peter. And warning with a little wagging finger there. Just something really easy to remember. Something that we can say on the boat when the fish aren't biting or first thing in the morning before we go to sleep. Oh, I do need a lot of sleep, he added, before Jesus could bring in that all-night prayer thing. Jesus nodded. Oh, and nothing too posh either, or long, or boring. Jesus waited patiently, and Peter stopped. Well, Jesus, I suppose you're the expert. Would you pray like this? Father, help us to honour your name. Come and set up your kingdom. Give us each day the food we need. Forgive us our sins as we forgive everyone who has done wrong to us. And keep us from being tempted. Peter stared. Is that it? Even I can pray that. Well, it's a good start, said Jesus. And talking about bread, I'm hungry. That's just a little snippet, maybe to get your imaginations going, as they were looking at Jesus and then said, how do we pray? And I think these words can be a real example of how we can spend our time praying. It doesn't have to be those exact words. Jesus said this is how we should pray. And so hopefully when we say that in our maybe traditions, where we might in a religious, more formal format say the Lord's Prayer, we will learn a bit more about the meaning this morning and bring them alive. I think it's really important. I know John touched on this in worship. That very first word, our. There's a lot of we, there's us, and there's our, all throughout the Lord's Prayer, bringing that corporate sense. But if you actually look at the words, it's quite a personal prayer. So I think it's both. I think it's something we can say together and, you know, remind each other we are not on our own. You're saying all these things. We're saying this together, that we should be able to support each other as a church family. It's making quite a stand, saying, your kingdom come, I will forgive. And other people are hearing you say those very, very strong statements. It's simple, but it's powerful. Isn't it great? We've been put in a community where we can support and encourage each other. So our Father, right at the beginning, Jesus is making sure, just like Steve brought last week, who are we addressing? Which is God? To understand, a bit like, I'm going to bring these up. So if the props helped you, by the way, these should be pretty much the same, not completely. Who are we addressing? It's God. And understanding that it's Father. Out of a loving relationship, we can come to him in prayer. Maybe that's new for you. Maybe you haven't really understood that before. But actually, it isn't something to fear. It isn't something to think, I'm going to be judged. But as you would to a good father. Again, where I brought that picture there and I mentioned about Abba Father, you will find that in Romans 8:15, call him Abba Father, meaning dad and God in one, okay? Can be a bit difficult to get our heads around, but God wants us to know, as Jesus was sharing with his disciples, he was saying, you can come and chat to God with openness, with trust. He is delighted to hear whatever you have to say. So who lives in heaven. If you always wonder what that art thing is, when you say the word art, it's where he lives, okay? So where is God? Because we have always used some very older English, and sometimes we try and move with more modern translations. But for me, God gave me this image. As I was looking at this, so I'm hoping this would really help you today. Who lives in heaven? Because surely our Creator God, who put the earth together and formed it all, is too big to even enter it. He is magnificent. He is amazing. And he certainly can't be contained by the earth. It brings me to mind, this is what God gave me, that even though God isn't here in person, he sent Jesus to this earth. And before Jesus left, he gave us the gift of the Holy Spirit. So yes, it can remind you, because I wouldn't want you to think, and I know Jesus didn't want his disciples to think, that God is some so far way distance. But actually, he sent Jesus, and he has left you with the Holy Spirit. So he, yes, is in heaven, but to understand the Trinity through that is wonderful, because the Holy Spirit, if we invite him in, will dwell in our hearts, and God is right here. So our Father, who lives in heaven, hallowed be thy name. So we know who we're addressing. And yes, we can come with openness and trust. But at that first part, to know that we are talking to a holy God who should be greatly revered. He is a great and just God who is above all beings. Focusing that start of our prayer time, acknowledging God, that even though, yes, he is our Father and we can come to him as his children, he is a powerful and mighty God. Maybe, really, before we're asking for anything, for ourselves, other people we know, we think about who God is. We put him first place. We concentrate on what it means to honour him in the way that we would live our lives, in our praise and our worship. Your kingdom come. This can be, I always think, quite difficult to understand. But I'm hoping, if I say the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven, that should sound quite familiar, because last year we spent months doing Story Stall, parables of Jesus. And most weeks we would talk about the kingdom of heaven because Jesus talked about it a lot. So I'm hoping that if we either remind ourselves of this, I found a little red heart on a man. I thought that was quite good. I couldn't find the red hearts with the north, south, east and west, but that's where we are with our symbols. Don't be cautious about it. We are praying for a big thing here, there is no doubt, because we understand that God is the king of his kingdom and that God wants the best for mankind. Therefore, it starts with trusting God, that God's agenda for us, our community, our family, the world is what we should be praying for. Your kingdom come, your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. And I think even if we understand it, we might worry, is that a bit too big for us? Because it's saying we're prepared to have action and do these things. And I'm sure most of us would rather rush off to that bit about what we need, because that's probably what's tumbling in the forefront of our minds. But if we hold there and we remember that the kingdom of God transforms people's hearts, when God works through his people, the way the kingdom of God will start to become alive. Do you remember some of the parables, some of those things? So when we were talking about the kingdom of God, you know, yes, we want. We were thinking of maybe, you know, the world and the wars and the different things, the hungers, the famine, those people broken, hopelessness. We want God to bring his peace, his joy, his love. So there are lots of big things. But what did Jesus start with? Tiny, tiny little mustard seed. What did he say? 5 loaves and 2 fish. Start with the small, start with the everyday. He spoke to everyday people and brought them in. Actually, yes, we can be asking for a big thing, but he wants you to just do your bit in an everyday way with everyday things, bringing his kingdom principles and actioning them here on earth. So then God says, you know, I do want you to be dependent on me for your every need. So give us our daily bread. This is where we bring our request to God about what we need. And as Ali so beautifully held that bread there, and we looked at God being our provider, not necessarily what we want, but what do we need? And we talked about lots of things, didn't we? Whether that's clothes, family, situations. But do we pray, there's a word daily there, about what we need today? Or are you somebody who's very concerned about what's around the corner next week and you're praying for what's next week, next month, next year, because there's lots of concerns going on there? But actually, I think this is quite key. I think Jesus is saying, you know, you need to pray every day. This is daily. What do you need for today? And I think Steve touched on this. Matthew 6 verse 33 says, each day has enough trouble of its own. Let's not get maybe overly concerned with what we need in a week's time. I think this is about us constantly leaning on God for what we need. He knows what's best. He does know what we need, but he loves us to ask. Then we get right to the crux of it. There was Kathy holding that lovely gold heart. The tough bit maybe of doing that business with God. Forgive us our sins. This means to take time to either reflect what we've done wrong, or maybe God has pointed out to us a bad attitude or something that maybe we didn't notice at the time. We need God's forgiveness. It is our greatest need. That's why he sent Jesus, to forgive our sins so we can be looked on by our Father God and receive his forgiveness. So that clause, and as Kathy demonstrated it so beautifully, and getting those hearts out to other people, because actually we are called to forgive. I'm not saying that's always easy, and at times it's a process, but we have to be obedient to God that he knows what's best, and at the very least start the process of being willing to forgive. Do you know, it frees us. This is why I quite like the illustration there. You've got a padlock with the gold heart on, that if we forgive, it'll unlock bitterness, resentment, anger. It means we might have to forgive the same person for quite a while. So if that helps you, imagery, that gold heart has to maybe go out to them sometimes every day for a period of time. Maybe every time they're called to memory. Oh yeah, God, I'm going to give that one to you. I do forgive them, but it still hurts. You know, God wants us mentally and emotionally well. And that means finding that joy and contentment that comes through this kind of process. God does not want us riddled with pain. And I wonder, going back to our bread, the daily bread, if this is why we need to come to God every day, because he knows what's best for us mentally, emotionally, physically, everything. And that's where we can then unlock that padlock and be free. So the final line in this Luke's version said, and lead us not into temptation. Of course, that's what gets us into sin in the first place. When you stumble and fall, it's surprising what can trip you over. Something very little sometimes. I don't know. Whatever is specific to you on that specific day, whether you're very tempted to get involved with a conversation where people are gossiping about somebody, whether actually you're in a bit of a tricky spot and you think, oh, I'm just going to tell a white lie to get out of this. Whatever it is for you, unhealthy relationships, what's not good for your mind, etc., etc. God, though, he doesn't tempt you. He may test you, but he never tries to cause us to sin. In fact, that's why we need rainbow, his protection. So in the Matthew's version, it talks about keeping us from evil, the evil one, keeping us protected. And I think that's a really good symbol over things. Oh, there you go. You've got lovely fields and green hills and things in that one. There have been a few stones in there. There you go. That's my little illustration for that. Keep us protected. Actually, is that again the same? Should we then want that every day? And go daily to God? Protect me, Lord. Deliver me from the evil that is around. And all of this, again, is in us. Even though it can be personal stuff, we're declaring for each other. We will forgive. We don't want to be led into temptation. And we do want to be free from these things. We do then finish, as Bill rightly says, it doesn't come in here though, that thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. We want to finish that prayer with praise and worship, recognizing God is constant, he is faithful, and he deserves our thanks. You know, this account in Luke is beautiful. It goes on to share, Mike read the two stories about prayer. Jesus doesn't stop there and says how to pray. He gives you, and if you go back to Story Stall, both Matt and myself covered those two stories that Jesus shared. And I think you should be able to find them on our website. But really beautiful how Jesus is just going, so just to help you out here, you know, we do want to really hear what you have to say. Oh my goodness, did you hear? I love the version you used, Mike, actually, in the story about the prayer. You know, this is about persistent prayer. You know, oh, I'm already in bed. Don't ask me for a loaf of bread now. And you're banging on, please, please. And it says, because of the audacity or something, isn't it? You keep on. Lord, I want this. Tell Jesus what you want. He wants to hear it again and again and again. Do you know, don't worry if you think I've said this 100 times. God wants to know what is burdening your heart. He does want to hear it. And it's lovely, isn't it? Verse 9 says this, so I say to you, ask and it will be forgiven, given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Then Jesus doesn't stop there. He shares about the Father giving good gifts to his children. Verse 13, if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Jesus starts by saying, our Father. And he finishes by saying, your Father. It's a message. It's an important message wrapped around in this prayer that it's been really good to learn and understand what it means and use it as a pattern for our prayer life. But do you understand this morning that God is your Father? You are precious. You were designed by him. He desires a close relationship with us. He knew you before you were put together in your mother's womb. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are either a daughter or a son of the King and co-heirs with Christ Jesus. You mean a lot to God. So prayer is a powerful tool. These are fairly simple words, but they are very powerful. It shapes us on how we think about God, ourselves, the world, and our role in the world. So it teaches us to pray like Jesus has taught us, but it leads us into this meaningful way of talking to and hearing from God. So I'm going to ask James to put up the last slide so you can just maybe, I think Steve said it wasn't big enough, so I don't know if you're there to see it. Just to remind us of what we've done. Our Father in heaven. So we can say this prayer together and know that we can come to God, trust him completely as our Father. We recognize that he lives in heaven and has left the gift of the Holy Spirit. Hallowed be your name, your God is just, holy, to be revered. Put him first in our lives. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. To take action here on earth with kingdom principles to change the lives and the hearts of people for Jesus. Give us today our daily bread so we can come to God about our needs and the day ahead. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. To come to God every day again say sorry when we mess up and get things wrong, and ask God to give us the courage and help us to forgive others. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, to keep us safe and protected from evil, and to give us the strength to walk away from temptation. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours now and forever. Amen. To finish with that prayer, with praising God for his goodness, for working in our lives, for listening and answering our prayers, to give thanks and worship for his many blessings. Amen.